Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Hey, all you cats and kitties, this is Penn Jillette in Las Vegas, talking to anybody that wants to listen. We're on Free FM, 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. Hear that groovy music? That is the big, gigantic, humongous Mike Jones Orchestra featuring Jimmy Mack on the guitar. And if you want to hear that music, you want to have more of it, download or anything, you can go to pennradio.com. We have the music up there for free. You can download that. I looked at it the other day. There's pictures and stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's
the There's pictures of us at the AIDS walk. There's pictures of your kids. Really kidnapping fodder all over the place
perfect,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. And picture of Moxie, me holding Moxie, walking across the line of the AIDS walk. And also cartoons, psychotic cartoons people send in of you and I doing the show. One I really liked. With you juggling donuts and me eating donuts and just boxes of donuts all over the place. I guess we give people the impression that we do nothing but eat Krispy Kreme donuts.
That's an accurate depiction, yes.
I think so. I'm on that gavage diet. You know, I'm trying to get my liver diseased like a big old goose. And I'm doing a fine job of it, too. I'm fine job of it. You know, we got to – I don't want to get – you know, we don't – we know. We know that that people that call in the show are not representative of those that are listening. We know that for a fact. That's been proven over and over. And we also know people that write in the Gmails, although I think more representative, still aren't. But all the same, they have a huge effect on us. We get hundreds of Gmails a day, and we look through and see what subjects people are interested in and what they're not interested in. So of the hundreds and hundreds of Gmails, many of them are about the draft, which we don't care about that much. And I think two of them were about foie gras, which I really do care about. But this is our good friend Renee French, whose book, The Ticking. She's a cartoonist, fabulous, I guess an artist. Artist is better. But she does graphic novels, and her latest one is called The Ticking. We had her on a while ago. There were a lot of tech problems. You've got to have her on again. But Renee is one of my favorite people in the world. I love her dearly, and she listens to the show. She's now down in Australia with her husband, Rob Pike, who's one of my closest friends. Two of my very, very close friends got married, and that is like the coolest thing that can happen to you because it just makes it a lot easier. You can just say hi to my other friend. I didn't know your wife before we met, so it's not, you know.
I'm sorry.
So I've gotten to know Teresa a bit, but Rob and Renee, you know, we're both bona fide best friends. I really, really dug them, you know. As a matter of fact, they kind of met and I believe consummated in my apartment in New York.
That's nice.
Isn't that nice? It's a little sweet little story. Probably more information that I should give out about my friends, probably, but they're married.
You know,
my
wife and I, after we'd broken up, got back. It's your apartment is magic. You should never have sold that place.
My apartment.
You could have had
also
people.
All sorts of guys that were like married used my apartment.
Forget matchmaker.com.
My apartment was just the best place to get laid in New York.
The Penderosa.
And I guess I'm supposed to, it was called the Penderosa. I guess I'm supposed to do some sort of like, you know, DJ turn on that and go, but not for me, didn't work for me. I know it worked for me really well. It worked for me very
really
well.
Really nice, huge apartment in a very expensive area in New York.
Huge apartment.
I wonder why it worked.
It was really nice. It was really nice.
Really,
you know,
nice.
Like the size of a basketball court. It was just huge. And it was all just like one room with a little office and a bedroom at the end. And it was really a nice place. I sold it for much too much money, though. What I did was, this is what you're supposed to do in real estate. This is my advice. You know, there's a financial guy that's on before me in some markets.
Yeah.
Here's my financial advice. If you don't need to sell something,
get a job.
If you don't need to sell something, put a really high price on it. I moved to Vegas, and I kept my place in New York and put it up on the market for like double what it was worth. And then finally someone paid it. It was a terrific thing. Anyway, Renee French, who has had sex in the Penderosa in New York. What a nice apartment. And I could walk to work. How many people in show business walk to work? I was right, you know, a little ways off Times Square. I would walk to the Broadway Theater, do the Penn and Teller show, and then walk
everybody
back.
Everybody that works on a cruise ship.
Well, yeah, and I get a slice of pizza on the way. Yeah. I mean, I was living the New York life. Now I'm living the Vegas life. You know, paranoid and holed up in a bunker.
fighting traffic for hours.
And afraid to go out of my house. I now work in, I guess I shouldn't say, you know, who gets to walk to work. Here I get to go down the stairs to work. And But Renee French writes this in. Her book is The Ticking. This has got nothing to do with this. But I remembered that Rob, that would be Rob Pike, her husband, had read an article about the geese loving the stuffing procedure and would fight for first spot in line. I asked Rob. Turns out the original and best foie gras comes from Provence, where the farm wife is in charge of the poultry. At feeding time, they don't run away. Instead, the boss goose insists on going first and not leaving until he is stuffed. So it doesn't seem like cruelty if the geese line up for it and the boss insists on going first. So really, foie gras is just a bunch of Ben Jillette geese who have holed up and are stuffing Krispy Kreme donuts down there.
Thanksgiving every day. For
exactly, exactly. Although Thanksgiving, geese are okay with Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
it's Christmas they're not thrilled about. Yeah, but I mean, so I don't know. When they're talking about cruelty, there's all this kind of anthropomorphizing that makes me crazy, crazy, crazy. There are so many things that make me crazy. Have you noticed that?
I have noticed
so
that.
So many things that make me crazy. But the foie gras, I mean, I don't know if you're against, it's exactly like, what was her name, Elise that called yesterday?
Elise, yes.
With the tattoo on her body. four-leaf clover, 3 inches. I kept thinking about that a lot, you know. Rock hammer for scale. You know how they do that in geologists? Always put up rock hammer for scale. Right. I was just thinking of that tattoo on her nether regions, 3-inch, 4-leaf clover for scale. It's just there for scale. That's the foie gras follow-up. I don't know how, like she said. She said that these were people that were trying to put a Band-Aid on it. This is an image we don't like, so they stopped it. If you think it's wrong to kill animals for food, if you think factory farming is wrong, be a goddamn vegan. Just be a vegan. If you're going to kill things and eat them, if you're going to kill mammals and eat them, you're going to kill birds and eat them, just shut up and say you're an omnivore who kills things to eat them. You can't do these halfway measures. If you don't want chickens to be tortured, it's not just Kentucky Fried Chicken you boycott. Don't eat the goddamn chickens. Be a vegan. Or me, be an omnivore. I'm okay with it, you know, because I think talking about animals suffering, I think that the peace that I've made with animals suffering, which is probably full of holes. People can call up 866-313-FREE. Always welcome to call up 3733. I'll also tell you, you may be wrong, but you'll be treated politely, right? Mm-hmm. That's the one thing we can promise you. We try to, you know, yes, sir, no, ma'am. We try to do that stuff right. I believe that that the suffering part of suffering, when you're sick, the suffering part doesn't seem to be the actual suffering. It's not the pain that's bad. It's the horror of knowing that pain continues. I really believe being aware of your own mortality is a huge part of pain, and that suffering is really different with a creature that doesn't know it's going to die. Also, I think that the anthropomorphizing goes a lot further. I mean, I think people worry about animals feeling pain the same way they do, but they had those robotic dogs, you know, mm-hmm. that were just totally robotic, but react. I think they still have them around. And people were writing that when they sent them back to have them repaired or something, they really missed them and felt they were, you know, suffering anxiety and so on. So I think there are certain cues in our empathy that make us feel that, and that maybe if you're going to eat a goose anyway, if you're going to eat a duck anyway, maybe stuff them with Krispy Kremes before you eat them. Okay? And the fact that his liver is diseased and full of cholesterol and is going to kill you too is kind of like the right kind of retribution from an ecological system. You know, that's why I avoid
Goose's revenge.
The goose's revenge. Sure. Goose's revenge. We want to talk a lot of, but this is, for those of you who like to know what the hell we're talking about, for those of you who like to have a little cap on, I think this is Health Friday. I think this is all we're going to be
health.
Talking about. Health.
Okay. Okay, T-H at the end. All right.
Health
I thought
Friday.
It was just Hell Friday.
No, it's Health. Health okay. Friday. Health Friday. So we have a little bit of alliteration there. Health. We'll still call it Health. Health Friday. the circumcision thing just came out. And we did a whole Bulls hit show on circumcision. And we came out firmly against it. Now, my son will be born probably within a month. And his name will be Zoltan Penn Gillette. And so his initials will be ZP. And I'm guessing some people will be calling him Zippy, which is fine with me. But his name will be Zoltan. It's a Hungarian name. It's my wife's maiden name. And he will be, as far as we know right now, he will be intact. He will not be circumcised. We did a lot of research for the show when we did the Bulls hit show on circumcision, and it seems like it is mostly to stop sexual pleasure, or it's a religious ritual, and it is just a maiming, a scarification of infants. And one of the lines I had in there, hi, how you doing? We just got cut off on the ISDN line. I don't remember exactly where I was, but that's no different than if we hadn't dropped it. If we hadn't dropped the call, if I hadn't dropped the line, I still wouldn't know exactly where I was. We were talking about circumcision, and I said, when you do a show like Bulls Hit, and you're that snotty, you know, we're just snotty bastards, and really unpleasant and cocky and all that stuff. That's the idea of the show. You know, the idea of the show is to be fair and very, very biased, right? We try to be fair. We don't take stuff out of context. We don't Michael Moore things, you know what I mean? We do a lot of research, and we show people saying what they plan to say, and then we call them bastards, you know, and worse. I was just thinking of the one thing we call them we could use. Yeah. And we really attack them. But it is fair and very biased, which incidentally is what I want out of all reporting. I want out of all reporting to be very, very biased. This idea of a fair and balanced media is an insane idea. The newspapers just, you know, 50 years ago, 75 years ago, were called like, you know, the Las Vegas Democrat. You know, the mm-hmm. Lost, they were the right. Liberal. And you knew the papers you were reading. And I would love it if CNN came on and said, good evening, we're CNN. We're pinko liberal bastards. And here's what we feel. You know, or we think Bush is an idiot. And here's the news. You know, or Fox comes on and goes, we'll stand behind Bush no matter what he does. And here's the news. Because once you know what the people are doing, then you can judge your news. I think you can watch the Penn and Teller Bulls hit show on, for instance, on creationism, mm-hmm. and actually learn about creationism. If you're pro-creationism, an idiot, if you're pro-creationism, you can watch that show and understand Penn and Teller are skeptics. Penn and Teller are atheists. Penn and Teller do a show called Bulls Hit. So we are going to be snotty. And I think you can be a Catholic, a Protestant, and you can watch that show and understand that we are being very fair and extremely biased. That's what I want. When you do a show like that, you know, and then you find something, a newspaper story comes out that says you could be wrong.
A lot of mail, huh?
A lot of mail. Man, do we get mail like crazy. And the circumcision study just came out in Africa. And the headline here, this is Sharon Lafreniere in the New York Times. The headline is Circumcision Studied in Africa, It's AIDS Preventative. Johannesburg, April 27th. For well over a decade, Southern Africans have battled the spread of HIV with everything from condoms and abstinence campaigns to doses of antiretroviral drugs for pregnant women, and yet the epidemic continues unabated. Now a growing number of clinicians? Yeah, sure. And policymakers in the region are pointing to a simple and possibly potent weapon against new infections, circumcision for men. Now, nowhere in this article do they have any of the studies that say, although they do say that from some of their partial studies, it will decrease transmission to women by as much as a third and decrease transmission to men from women by as much as two-thirds. It's a really remarkable numbers, right?
That's pretty good numbers.
Yeah, those really good numbers.
If only we had something that were more effective.
Yeah, something were more effective and didn't require a scarring of people, didn't require damage. If only something would come up, you know, maybe they could make something out of...
There were a piece of, like, latex or rubber that you could wrap
between. Wow, would that be terrific if they could just invent that? Because latex would
I'm
be cheap.
I'm going to get on that, because I think that would be really cheap on this.
Nowhere in here does it say that circumcision works better than condoms. Condoms are really good to stop with AIDS transmission. They're really, really good.
Almost 100%.
Almost 100%. If used right, I guess they have to be 100%. But used right is where the wiggle room is. And they also
do. It doesn't go on your head.
And this thing I really, really dislike is they're talking about how they can, how they can send missed messages. Like maybe if they say circumcision helps this much, that people will get circumcised and then have more sex. I don't believe the manipulation of people. The World Health Organization is not supposed to treat Africans or anybody like they are children. So this does not negate anything we said in the Bulls hit show. This is just saying for Africa. This is amazing. Of the nearly 5 million people worldwide who became infected last year, 3.2 million live in sub-Saharan Africa, the agency says. Researchers have suspected since the 1980s that such patterns are more than coincidence, and while the topic has long been a controversial one, many experts say the bulk of studies suggest that circumcision has at least some preventative effect. Although circumcision is not a custom among most ethnic groups in the region, studies in Botswana and elsewhere suggest that more than half the men would accept circumcision if it were free and done safely. Many say that circumcision improves hygiene and sexual pleasure. Well, we know that it doesn't improve sexual pleasure. We did a lot of research on that. And we found out that it really doesn't. One of the reasons it was used in the United States was to decrease sexual pleasure. That was the idea with Kellogg, the cereal guy, and Graham, the cracker guy. They were two guys at that time who were considered health food nuts, and they were very against. Isn't it great that Graham crackers used to be considered health food?
Yeah.
They were very against men having pleasure. And that was one of the things they were trying to stop with circumcision. So, yes, you can keep sending us the articles about circumcision. The real study is going to be out in June, but I don't know if we were that totally wrong. This is for Africa if their people are not using condoms. In America, if you are using condoms for sex, then you're fine without being circumcised, and it might not be good to mutilate your babies. Unless you're doing it for religious reasons, which I can't comment on, because I'm Penn Jillette, and I'm not a religious guy. 866-313-FREE, that's 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Ah, this is Penn Jillette here. We're just maggoty with phone calls. People are just calling in like crazy. 866-313-FREE, 3733. If you are on the phone and you're holding on, keep holding on. Want to do a few news things. I like to do a little news things now and again. And we have a great, great, great email that I want to read and maybe invite someone out. A nationwide poll reveals that if genocidal warfare in Darfur continues for two more months, 30% of Americans will actually look up where it is, and Penn will learn to pronounce it. Rosie O'Donnell has been tapped to replace Meredith on The View, replacing Rosie as America's favorite shrill, angry defender of bad musical theater will be Kathy Lee Griffin. Gifford. Yeah, Kathy Lee didn't like me at all. I was on the Regis and Kathy Lee show.
Yeah.
And we were talking backstage, and it was right after the OJ thing. And I said to her, you know, if one football player had to kill his wife, and she wasn't happy with that at all. CNN poll has found that overall Hillary Clinton's approval rating rises when she identifies herself as Hillary Rodham Clinton. Democrats alone only slightly prefer the longer name, while Republicans seem to prefer Hillary the C. They like to just shorten it up. Is there any calls you want to take, or should I go to some more of these
news things?
Did you read about the Beijing Institute of Clothing Technology reporting that improved nutrition and sports participation have increased the average Chinese woman's chest measurements? To celebrate, President Hu announced all restaurants would be dropping column A and adding column D to their menus. That's what's happening with breast size in China, for those of us. And also in China, the Chinese victim of a bear attack is recovering well. His doctors say after receiving a face transplant from a brain-dead donor, informed that the patient lost his face while chasing a black bear with a stick, his doctors declared him brain dead too and took the face back. Just take the face back. He was chasing a black bear with a stick.
Chasing I've done a bear. That.
You have?
I have.
You have not.
I have.
Why have you chased a black bear with a stick?
To get them out of my food.
You've hit a black bear with a stick?
I've thrown things at them. I've chased them with sticks and thrown the sticks. You're staring at me incredulously.
Why? When there's a bear, why don't you run away?
Because the bear's more scared of you, generally.
Generally!
Obviously, in this case, this poor... It was a Chinese bear. He didn't know he was supposed to run. In Yosemite, the bears know they're supposed to run.
You know, I have a, we have a friend, Wheeler. Did I talk about this on the air about Wheeler, the geological survey in Alaska? Did I already talk about
no,
that?
No, you did not.
Oh, okay. Wheeler, Mark Wheeler, who is one of the stars. We're going to get to the calls, don't worry.
sure we are.
One of the stars of the story about Britney Spears and getting thrown out for being fake child molesters.
Wheeler making another appearance on the Penn Radio Show.
Mark Wheeler, who has worked for the American Geological Survey. And American Geological Survey guys, they have to walk through tundra in Alaska for a long time. And they all carry 44 magnums. And as they walk in groups, they all have to sing and talk the whole time because bears up there, grizzly bears, are very dangerous, and they kill a lot of geologists, which is funny because any movie you see, any, like, science fiction movie, if there's a geologist in there, he's going to die first. They all, Star Trek, everywhere. They're not important to the plot. Geologists are just plot meat. That's all they exist for. They just exist. They are just fodder for the bloody mill, you know? So if you find yourself on, like, a spaceship, and you find yourself as a geologist, you can bet your ass is going to be eaten by an alien right out of the gate. So the geologists all together, when it's just geologists, they are just walking. They're dead men walking. That's all they're doing. All the animals are going, wow, we got geologists coming in? How cool is that?
It must be delicious.
Delicious. Geologists are the best to kill.
Better than foie gras.
And also, you don't get too attached to them, geologists. So Wheeler's going with the geological survey. They give them a 44 Magnum, okay? And then they have to go
through the tundra.
They have to go through the tundra, and they have to keep talking and singing the whole time as loudly as they can. So they take turns for half an hour. So like Wheeler's walking through the tundra singing Born to Run at the top of his lungs, you know. Come on, Wendy! You know, walking along with his gun. And then he said that when a bear is coming at you, and don't you dare ruin this punchline, because you're going to get the same idea I got, and I don't want you to jump on it. So Michael Goudeau...
I'm gonna quiet for the next 2 minutes.
You have a shut up right now. He says to me, they tell me that you have a 44 Magnum, and when a bear is coming at you, you point the 44 Magnum at the bear's heart, and then you talk to him as loudly as you can. And he said many people freeze up and can't think of anything to say, so they tell us in the geological survey we have to memorize something to say so we know automatically. So we don't have to think about it like, bear, run away, bear, run away, you know, something like that. We have to think of something to say. And he said, you know, Penn, I'm coming to you because you'll be able to help me. What do you think I should say to a bear when I'm holding a 44 Magnum on him? And I said, well, Wheeler, here's what you memorize. I know what you're thinking, bear, that I fire 5 shots or 6. To tell you the truth, in all the excitement, I've kind of forgotten myself. Since I'm holding a 44 Magnum, most powerful handgun known to man, blow a bear's head clean off, you could ask yourself, do I feel lucky? Well, bear, do you? I think that's all you got to do, right? That's what you do in the tundra with a bear coming at you. You hold the 44 Magnum on him and do Clint Eastwood. How was my Clint Eastwood impersonation?
It was pretty good.
It was pretty good. You know, I'm really excited now because my impersonations are so sucky. They're so terrible that really felt good. I felt like I was like on a roll there. I know what you're thinking,
You'll
Bear.
You'll be a good radio host eventually.
Maybe I'll do the whole rest of the show as Clint. Go ahead. Make my day. I don't sound anything like Clint anymore. For a moment, in my head, in my head, I sounded a little bit like Clint Eastwood. Do you want to take a call?
I think we should take line one if he's still on. It's Woo-hoo! An anonymous call.
Anonymous
call on line one.
Anonymous. Hello.
Hello.
Don't say your name.
Are you there?
Hi. How are you?
Hey. How you doing?
Doing very well, thanks. How are you?
I just got to say, first of all, it's a pleasure to be able to talk to both of you. My call is about the whole circumcision thing that you were talking about.
Yeah.
I'm 20 years old, and I didn't get circumcised as a child. My parents decided not to.
Uh-huh.
And I had it done when I got in high school because I really felt uncomfortable being around other kids in the showers and the locker rooms and stuff like that. I'd get a lot of awkward looks, comments. So I think, like, a part of society... it's such a big thing in society to have circumcision done, you almost feel like an outcast when you don't. And that's sort of how I felt when I was going
through
all
that. So how old were you when you got it done?
I was 15.
15? And how painful was it?
I couldn't really walk too well for like a week.
Uh-huh. And you now, you don't regret it at all?
No, no, I'm really glad I got it done because I feel more confident about it.
Uh-huh.
And I just feel more comfortable in situations where you're around other guys and when you are in the showers and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And I feel more confident when I'm with women as well.
Uh-huh. Now you had, I assume, some sort of sexual pleasure since you were 15 before that. Was there a change, a decrease in sensitivity or anything after you got that?
I didn't really notice any difference too much. I know, like, for the first few weeks, there were stitches, and it was very painful, and I couldn't do anything. But after everything healed, I didn't really notice a difference at all.
Oh, that's really cool. That's really cool. Now, you know, when we did our show and did all our research, we talked strictly about health and sexual pleasure and so on. We only briefly touched on the aesthetics. And we did interview some women who said they preferred men who were circumcised tremendously, and some women who said that they liked men who weren't, and we also had people who said they wanted to look like their dads or look right in the shower. And I kind of, because in my life I've always been kind of happy to be an outcast, I kind of projected that also into sexuality. And in showers, in gym, I did everything I could to skip gym. Look at me, for Christ's sake. I did everything I could to skip gym. So I wasn't comfortable at the age of 15 showering with other guys anyway. And I guess my thinking on that was that since it wasn't a treat to shower anyway, not looking like them wouldn't make it any worse. But, of course, your argument is it didn't make it any better. And certainly you are more qualified to talk about this than I am. Now, we've made the decision, the same as your parents, to not circumcise our kid. And there is a trend that's changing. So we may not be alone in the shower, so to speak. But thanks so much. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New Jersey.
New Jersey, yeah. Well, I mean, you made a good choice, and I'm not going to give your name out or anything, but thanks a lot for telling us that, because that's a perspective that's fairly rare and very important from someone who's really been there. So thanks a lot for calling, Dave. Just took a stab that he might be named Dave.
Dave is now really pissed. How did you know? Won $1 million from Randy.
I just took a stab. You know, we talked about that on the show, you know, that there is an aesthetic thing to it and trying to match. I don't think that the urge to match other people in looks and in style is a noble urge. I think the noble urge is to individualism. And to me, that just gets stacked onto that. But hearing a person who was that troubled by it certainly makes you want to think about it some. And, Emily and I have talked a lot about circumcision of Zoltan. Of course, now that we've talked about circumcision, as he gets older and these are podcasts, he might be embarrassed anyway. This is Penn Jillette. We're back after this. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733 if you can't spell free. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. That's a rocky one. That's the Mike Jones Big Band. You can hear more of the Penn Jillette theme on PennRadio.com, which Dustin's doing a good job on. It's been pretty cool.
It is.
A lot of cool stuff happening. 866-313-FREE, 3733. I got the greatest Gmail ever here that I want to read. But first, let's take some phone calls, because the Gmails can wait, but I don't like to leave people on the phone for too long, although I do it every show. But I don't like it. It doesn't mean I'm not going to stop doing it. I just don't like it. Let's take a phone call.
Okay, let's talk to Chris on line five. How about
hey,
that?
Chris, what's up?
Hi, I've listened to you quite a lot. I enjoy your show a lot. And I've listened to you talk about the circumcision thing before, and I always thought I should call in. And since you're talking about it again today, I worked for a urologist, and we ended up doing a lot of circumcisions on teenage boys and older men. And one of the main reasons is, I don't want to get gross, but it really has to be kept clean. And if you know teenage boys, showering sometimes isn't something they like to do.
Yes, but touching their penis is something they like to do. If you're going to clean one part of your body, I would say that on my body, the cleanest part is my penis.
So. And with
I would not just hope so. I think it's true.
With an uncircumcised organ, you have to be religious about it. You really do.
We use the wrong word.
Sorry, for you, I know. We have a lot of servicemen who in the service are in the Army are sent out on maneuvers into the field and for days don't bathe, they get infections. A lot of things can grow under there, a lot of things, and you've really, really got to be able. And I think that's why it started with the Jewish children, is that it's a part of a health thing. It is a cleanliness thing, and
uh-huh.
they can have a lot of problems with it. And we used to do it, and I was having nieces and nephews at the time, and with my nephews, my sisters would ask me, what do you think? And I would talk to the men who had it done, and all of them said, there's not a big difference. After it's healed, no problem. And
uh-huh.
a lot of them, too, said that they felt more comfortable with their bodies afterwards. But as far as maiming or anything, they said, no, it all works fine, no problem. And
there's no doubt that it all works fine.
Yeah.
But there has to be some loss of sensitivity with the scar tissue.
I actually asked them, because I said, you know, my sister's having a boy. What do you think? And he said, circumcision. He
uh-huh.
said, first of all, he said, one guy said, when he was a kid, he used to play in the sand at the beach.
Uh-huh.
The sand could get in the uh-huh. bathing suit, and he said, I would have irritation. My mom would have to help me clean myself
oh.
as a little
well,
boy. So anything,
that's certainly not a penthouse
it's a
letter.
Fold. It's a fold, and anything can get under there and grow under there
uh-huh.
and can cause problems. The only thing is, if someone's going to do it, a lot of times when a woman has a baby and she's about to go home, they'll grab some resident or somebody. The nurses will go, oh, Mrs. Smith's ready to go home, but the kid's got to be circumcised. Would you do it? Sometimes it's their first circumcision. It's
uh-huh.
the first one, and they can cause injury to a child if they don't know what they're doing.
So your call basically is pro circumcision, but also get it done by a professional.
By a professional.
Don't just find some guy.
A lot of them, and they're really good. I've been to Bris where the baby was asleep. They circumcised him. That little boy never woke up
uh-huh.
through the whole thing.
By never woke up. You don't mean they killed the kid.
No.
You mean just slept through that particular thing. But you think.
I mean, he did wake up, but not during the circumcision.
Good. That's what I meant. And you really think it should be done by a professional? You don't. You don't.
Yeah.
You don't
you
suggest
say,
that parents find somebody in the in the waiting room and just say, you know,
no,
could you clip this off with some nail clippers?
Exactly.
You don't want that, yeah.
Or the home
kit.
They can't
damage a child. They can't.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
you want to be sure that's done. But if it's done well, I've talked to probably 10 men. And
right, but when you're talking to 10 men, you're talking to the definition of a self-selected sample.
Well,
you're talking to men who
came,
want it so badly.
They
yeah.
came in for the procedure.
They came in for the procedure, so they wanted it badly. So
yeah,
psychologically, you have the definition.
A lot of them were scared to death, but they had such infections, they had to do something. They were in extreme pain.
Right,
they were
swollen, but still.
Really, really bad news. And so they realized,
wait a second.
The service, they put them in the hospital and do it. It's not.
Wait a second.
Pleasant.
Right, sure. But what I'm saying is the information that you're giving, while valid, is anecdotal and certainly a self-selected sample. Someone that has a very bad infection, someone that's been driven to that point,
right.
is going to feel a kind of relief that is going to give your information a little bit more weight on the side of circumcision than it would be in a double-blind experiment, you know, where the people are picked at random.
There aren't that many men that aren't circumcised.
Well, no. Yes, in the United States of America, not worldwide.
I'm probably seeing a large number because of working in a neurologist office. I'm seeing more than
right.
a lot of people.
But they're still self-selected. they're the definition of self-selected. They're going to you for a particular job to be done. And worldwide, it's not true that it's so many. So you're talking about people in your particular area, and it's very valid, but it still is anecdotal and not scientific. I just want people to keep that in mind.
It's like saying, you know, if you're at a tire shop, that everybody in the world has bald tires. You know what I mean? That's
yeah.
Everybody that comes in has bald tires. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah. If they were all coming in with Volkswagens, or the majority were Volkswagens, you'd say, hey, these Volkswagens, there's a lot of Volkswagens with problems here.
Exactly my point.
Men, too, with problems.
Yeah.
You know?
I think by the analogy, you made our point. But thank you very much. You certainly know more about it than we do, and thanks an awful lot.
Okay.
Thanks so much. You know, I was really having I didn't want to interrupt her, but you know, she had really long sentences. She talked like me.
I wonder if she needs an assistant.
You want to get in there with the
yeah.
with the snips?
Well, no, I just want to talk with her on the radio all day.
We got another. Are there any other calls you want to take?
There are a million calls.
Okay,
people have gone wild. Circumcision drives people wild.
Okay, well, let's take another call then. I like the calls from the women.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to line three. This is Adrian.
Hey, Adrian, what's up? This is Ben. How you doing, Adrian?
Hey, how's it going? It's not a girl. It's a guy.
Okay, sure. I'm terribly sorry. I have a girl's name, too. My name is Penn, and everybody called me Penny all the time. And if I were calling in a show like this, they would write down Penny. So please accept my apology, and then let's go on.
No, no, not at all. I mean, I get the, yo, Adrian, you know, from Rocky all the time. It's
boy, you've got to get different friends. You must. But go on. What are you going to talk about?
Well, actually, I'm not circumcised, and I love it.
Okay.
You know, and, I mean, they say that I think it does make a difference, you know, my opinion. I've been with, you know, girls, and a lot of the girls are actually, you know, curious about it, and they end up liking it.
Sure. The nurse that called said it was impossible to clean, and there's sand there and abrasion, and she made it sound like you're really dragging a carcass behind you. Is it that bad?
No, I mean... Obviously, I mean, it's a lot more work, and I mean, it should be. You should keep yourself clean.
But at least where you're working, your place of business is pleasant.
Yeah, but I mean, it's important, you know, and as long as, you know, it's, you know, hygienic, you know, you keep yourself clean, and it's, you know, it's good. You know, and I don't feel at all, you know, when I go into a shower, because I go to the Y, and I don't feel at all, you know, like, like everything else, you know, or in high school, it was like, you know, it's no big deal. I wasn't really too, didn't feel like.
Well, there you go. Well, thanks a lot for that other point of view, Adrian. I think what we're showing is if you give somebody a girl's name, they have bigger problems in the shower than whether they're circumcised or not. You know, and that may be me too. You know, I went through high school with the name Penn, and I haven't really been bothered by anything. I think I would be fine the other way.
You were bigger than everyone else in high school.
I was.
Were not picked on.
I was. So that made it there. I want to read this this letter because I really don't want to miss this. This may be, you know, we've been on the air since January 3rd. This may be my favorite letter we've ever gotten. And I'm very tempted to give her a whole name, but I guess I won't. The subject is foie gras and foreskin. What other radio show has gotten a Gmail? As a matter of fact, those people out there listening, if you happen to be sending a Gmail to somebody like a buddy or something, just in the RE, just put foie gras and foreskin. Just F-O-I-E-G-R-A-S and foreskin. Put that in the RE. I want a lot of Gmails going around.
It's
going
to get picked up in the spam filter, huh?
No, it won't get picked up in the spam filter. Just send it out. Just as a matter of fact, I think foreskin is a spam filter of a sort. Dear Mr. Gillette and Mr. Goudeau, may I point out that both names are spelled absolutely correctly? Two difficult names to spell. Gillette is with a J and a terminal E, and Goudeau has more vowels than a New York cab driver. She's done it exactly right all the way through. Hey, she starts with hey, always cool. I live in Chicago. She left out the, but that's okay. I live in the Chicagoland area and am a vegetarian, which she capitalizes, for various reasons, and am planning on going to Vegas for my birthday in the next few months. However, I think I would sell my soul, which she, of course, doesn't have, to eat dinner with you and would try to eat foie gras. She would eat foie gras with me. She's a vegetarian, but with me, she would eat foie gras. Hey, we all have a price, and mine just happens to be relatively cheap. Okay, then she kind of takes back the huge compliment. You've got a date. Come on out to Vegas. I will take you out to foie gras. If you come in late enough after my wife has had our baby, she'll be able to go out with us. But she will not eat the foie gras. I will guarantee you my wife won't eat it. But you and I can eat it together. And Goudeau, we'll get Goudeau out there too, because this is addressed to both of us.
If there's foie gras involved, I'll be there.
He'll be there. Robbie, who writes a lot of jokes for the show, was talking about how he makes foie gras. I don't mean he stuffs food down a goose's liver. But he buys.
We got a few people sent us recipes.
He buys the lobe and puts it. It deveins it. Takes off the skin. Places it in this little shallow pan.
Are you sure you're not doing the circumcision description?
But also, I want you to hear this P.S. This is from Megan. I can give her first name. Megan. So, yes, the answer is yes. Write a Gmail. We'll set it up. When you're out to Vegas, I'll give you tickets to the show. And you can all – I mean, it's the best Gmail we've ever gotten. Give you tickets to the show. And maybe we'll bring you in the next day on the air. Happy Jack. Jack will buy you some donuts, and we'll talk about your experience eating foie gras. We'll take you out to a really nice place. We'll take you out to the Napa at the Rio or one of the places that has great food. We'll find a place that's open late, or maybe Easy's got a good friends at Aquinox. Maybe they can prepare something after hours because they're open to like 3. So we'll come to the Penn and Teller show, and then we'll do that. But the P.S. is what also kills me. I am training to be a nursing assistant, and after learning about how to clean an intact man, I have become obsessed with foreskin. Your Bulls hit show only made my borderline creepy interest in the penis even more intense. Okay, so far, a great P.S. But wait, it gets better. This is probably because I am bisexual and have dated more women than men, so I'm still new to the penis. However, my question is, would it be poor taste to just ask a guy if they are circumcised or not, if they and if not, can I play with their foreskin? That's a question she asked. Now, I'm not the guy to ask about etiquette because I would think that's a fine question. I think if you ask a guy in almost any situation about his penis, he will answer it. And if you say, if you're not circumcised, may I play with your foreskin? I think the answer you're going to get is this guy be going to the men's room and taping Band-Aids onto the end of his penis to fake it. And he'll just say, but baby, please, I'm self-conscious. After all those showers in high school, we have to leave the lights off. So please, I know it feels like gaffer's tape. I know it feels like duct tape. But really, really, Megan, really, don't leave. Megan, don't leave. I think you'll be trying that. So if you come out here, Megan, if you come out to Vegas, we'll take you to the Penn and Teller show, probably take you to the Lance Burton show. We'll take you out to take to get foie gras. And then if you really want, I will tape on some fake foreskin. Whatever you want, Megan. This is the best letter we've gotten. Thank you all so much. We didn't even get to the fact that Marburg, there's a Marburg vaccine. We didn't get to the malaria stuff on Health Front.
We'll do the Marburg on Monkey Tuesday.
We'll do that. We'll do that on one of these days. And thank you so much for coming in here. You know, it's always great. Everybody here seems to like to laugh. Either step in line or just don't hang around. Penn Jillette here with Michael Goudeau and thinking about foreskins and foie gras. You don't like this, do you, Patrick? You don't like this at all. Whenever we talk about any sort of discussion of below the belt, he gets very uncomfortable. He has some gypsy blood. I can tell he has some gypsy blood in him, doesn't he? That bothers you. Oh, get over it, Patrick. You're going to be working the show for a while.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.